Motsy and Leighton for breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Triple M.
I'm lucky enough to be joined by one of the power couples of Australian country music, Australian blues music for that. And they're coming down to Wagga April 7th at the Civic Theatre. And a very good morning to Adam Eckersley and Brooke McClymont. Good morning.
Good morning.
G'day, mate.
You've gotten together and you've done an album together. How good's that?
We have, mate. We're stoked. Absolutely.
Now, obviously, you've each had your individual projects on the go for a lot of years. Why now that you've decided to put the album together?
Basically, we were just opportunistic. We've spoken about doing something together musically ever since we've been together, nearly 10 years. But we didn't think we'd get the opportunity for, I don't know, till we were older and sort of our individual projects sort of slowed down.
50 or 60, we're thinking, in the late years.
Knew we'd do it, but and Brooke and I headed to the shed and wrote the songs and got in the studio.
That is sensational, just quietly. Like, you know, most blokes, when they say, oh, yeah, just going down the shed, honey, like pretending they're doing work on a car or having a couple of beers, you've gotten to come along, Brooke.
I get to come along, isn't that?
But I just built another shed, so now I can hide. Pick a shed.
Go into one each now. That's sensational.
Oh, that's right.
And you're going out on the road together as well, touring together as a married couple. Have you, because you've done tours before together, but have you since you've been married?
Nothing significant. We've done a few shows here and there as a duo just when we've had a month or two.
And you've supported the girls and I, the McClymonts.
Yeah, that's right. And I played guitar in the McClymonts band in America for 6 months. And so we have been on the road together, but with a project that is ours and just us touring it, no, we haven't done that yet. So,
but we're coming your way.
Yeah, well, you are. Civic Theatre, 7th of April. Make sure you grab your tickets for the Highway Sky Tour. Now, Adam, a question for you. Did you take over the naming of this album? Because I noticed, like, you've had the first album, the second album, and funnily enough, they were the first and the second albums, and now you're doing one with Brooke, so you've called it Adam and Brooke. I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
You know what? I've actually never worked that out. That is actually hilarious.
Funny. God, it might have been my influence. I hate coming up with album titles. It's tough.
Our last names are so long and there was no room to put anything else on the title of this album. So I just said to Adam, it's got to be Adam and Brooke. Like, there's nothing else we can
put on. It's not a very exciting album title, but I wish we had really cool, super cool names or something. But
yeah, like, you know,
I don't know.
What is Abe Danger and and Bonnie?
You could just like go, maybe just the initials doing next time. Yeah. The thing is that it works because, like, when you refer to albums that you're listening to, and especially if you can't think of it, oh, yeah, it was that first one that they did. And instantly it works. Oh, it's Adam Eckersley and Brooke McClymont. Oh, it must be Adam and Brooke.
That's right. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, so it does the job.
Keep it simple. Now, Trainwreck is your debut song from that album. Tell us a bit about the song.
That one was actually written about 5 years ago. I wrote it with a guy in Nashville, James House, a great songwriter. And I wrote it on a trip I was doing for the first Adam Eckersley Band record. And it just didn't have a place on that record. But Brooke and I both have always loved the song. It was pretty much written from the point of view of, at the time, Brooke and I had spent a whole heap of time apart, months apart, on different sides of the world and what have you, because of music. And it did cause sort of tensions at times and what have you, that we've worked through and everything. But we were like, you know what, this crazy sort of life may very well result in the demise of our relationship at some point. But what do you do? There's no option. We were never going to sit at home and play it safe for the sake of ensuring our relationship would stay strong. We're kind of like, we're having too much fun doing what we're doing. So whatever will be, and we're just rolling on and there'll be no regrets, whatever the outcome. And, you know, it's cool now that we're doing this project and it's 5 years down the track and we're still married and we're still happy. So none of those bad scenarios have occurred.
Maybe you need to interview us at the end of this tour and we'll let you know where we're up to.
Yeah, exactly. We might be in the rubble then.
Trainwreck part two on the next Adam and Brooke album.
Yeah.
Well, Adam and Brooke, thank you so much for catching up today. April 7th is when you're going to see the gang live on the stage at the Civic Theatre in Wagga. Make sure you grab your tickets. You'll be able to get those through the Civic Theatre booking office. And look forward to seeing you down here. Your Highway Sky Tour lands in Wagga, April 7. And Adam and Brooke, thank you so much for catching up.
Thank you very much, mate. We can't wait to get down there. We're also bringing the very talented Blake O'Connor. He's opening the show and he's a super talented young dude.
He's going to be a superstar in country music.
Well, we look forward to seeing him. We look forward to seeing you as well on stage, April 7, Civic Theatre, civictheatre.com.au for all the tickets, 69269688. Now, through the week, there was a big story about a proposed solar farm out past Gregadoo. And there's been a few solar proposals around the Riverina that have got a fair way to go yet. But if they come to fruition, I thought I'd like to know a little bit more about them because my knowledge of solar is, whilst I know in general what it is fairly limited. So I thought I'd go to someone who does know a little bit about it. And from the CSIRO, the Research Group Leader for Solar Energy Systems, Dr. Gregory Wilson joins me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Yeah, going very well. First off this morning, I'd like to ask just what is solar energy? Because like you hear the term floating around and you get the general idea, oh yeah, it's energy that comes from the sun. But if someone said to me, can you explain to me solar energy or what can you tell me about solar energy? My knowledge is very limited. What can you tell us about solar?
Look, solar energy is quite broad. It could be everything from the solar panels that you see on your roof that produce electricity to the black type solar panels that can produce hot water for your home, through to the mirror-like, really large-scale solar power plants like they're building in South Australia, the Aurora solar power plant. And so a solar farm can be a combination of any of those, but predominantly we're probably talking about solar photovoltaic, so the solar panels on your roof.
And my understanding is that the Wagga installation or the proposed Wagga installation at 47 megawatts is quite a sizable installation?
Yeah, that would be correct. 47 megawatts is quite a large scale, but in the scheme of things in Australia, that's probably a moderate scale solar farm. You know, we have ones that are over 100 megawatts and ones in the planning that could be anywhere up to 1 gigawatt, which is 1,000 megawatt.
Now, obviously, it's like anything. Everyone thinks it's a great idea until you put it in their backyard. Now, one of the things that has come up in discussion is the look of the farm and what's it going to be like. One comment that stuck in my mind was, it's just going to be like a giant mirror. Is that what they look like? What aesthetically, what's the effect on the landscape?
Yeah, look, this is a question that comes up quite regularly for us, Lee, and we've done studies for these for different councils around Australia, for instance. Look, it does depend on the technology you're talking about. The solar panels, like a photovoltaic panel that's producing electricity, they're typically a black-based colour quite a dark colour, and they actually have an anti-reflective coating on them. So the amount of glare or reflection that you see from them is actually quite low. So, look, you know, I find them quite visually appealing in that way. The comparison is the large-scale solar thermal plants, like is proposed to be built in South Australia. And they're a field of very large-scale mirrors. So they're very highly reflective, but they concentrate that energy up to a central tower. So it's, again, designed to be pointed away from other residential areas or other areas around it.
Yeah, so designed basically to minimise the impact, of course. One thing that I did come across while I was having a look into solar is a tech that CSIRO are working on, which is a solar film. Can you talk to us a little bit about the solar film?
Yeah, there's a number of different technologies that CSIRO is looking at, but also other researchers around the world. And one of the areas we look at is flexible-based photovoltaics. And these are essentially a low-cost photovoltaic technology that you can adhere to different surfaces or use them in different applications other than large-scale power generation like you see for the solar farms.
Sensational. So, and that could be retrofitted to pretty much any surface theoretically.
Yeah, effectively that's one application. This could be something that could be adhered to a window or it could be adhered to any other sort of surface that you want to generate power from.
Amazing. So in the future, you have your north-facing wall all solar and away you go.
Yes, that would be the future view for us.
Sensational. Finally, what do you see as the future of solar going forward? Where do you think we'll end up with it?
Yeah, look, you know, the future of our nation, the future of Australia, our industries and communities will really depend on how we position ourselves for change and adapt to the world around us as it evolves. And, you know, the future energy mix most certainly will involve renewables, will involve solar, but it's going to be part of that that requirement for industries and communities in the future.
Sensational. Dr. Gregory Wilson, Research Group Leader for Solar Energy Systems at the CSIRO, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Lee.
We celebrate Enlightened Festival. I try to get a little bit enlightened on some stuff that we may not know about. If you've got that random fact rolling around in your mind, 132710, the number to call and enlighten me for your chance to win your way to Enlightened Festival with accommodation, tickets to some of the great venues over in Canberra, dinner and some shopping over there as well. And Jeff's on the line, 132710. Jeff, what are you going to enlighten us with this morning?
Have you ever heard the saying, the bee's knees?
I have heard the saying, the bee's knees.
Yeah, that originally came from where the honey is kept on the back of the legs of the bees. And that's roughly the best of the honey.
I did not know that. And I'm amazed at the amount of research that went in. Jeff, thanks so much for your call this morning. You're in the running to win your way to Enlighten.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Not a problem. And 132710, of course. Darren, what are you going to enlighten us with this morning?
Did you know that the Great Wall of China is that large? I think it's the only place on Earth that can be seen from space.
Really? I did not know that. Darren, great little tidbit. You have enlightened me, and you're in the running to win.
Excellent.
Not a problem. You have a great day, and if you get a call back in around about an hour's time, then your fact was the most enlightening of the week, and you're going to be getting along to Enlighten in Canberra. And as I said, accommodation over there at the Avenue Hotel, tickets in to Questacon, tickets into the AIS, tickets into Cockington Green, as well as some dinner, as well as some shopping. And make sure you make your way over to Enlighten, enlightencanberra.com for all the details. It has been a big week of finding out a few tidbits of information as people have been calling up to enlighten me for Enlighten Festival in Canberra. It is time to find a winner with my favourite fact of the week. And it was, in fact, one that was given to me a little bit earlier this morning about the term bee's knees. So let's see if we can grab Jeff on the line and see if he can we can give him a decent prize for this one.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff Lee from Triple M. How are you going?
Good, Lee. Yourself?
Very well. Now, I am calling you back because earlier this morning you dropped the most incredible fact that we have had all week. So I'm going to send you along to Enlighten Festival over in Canberra.
Oh, that's fantastic. The wife will love that.
Absolutely. And look, it's great chance for the two of you to get away. So Superior King Room, two nights, Avenue Hotel, Canberra. The three-in fun pass, so you can swing out to the AIS, Cockington Green Gardens, and then to Questacon as well. And dinner at the Tipsy Bull on Lonsdale Street, shopping at the Capital Region Farmers Market. It is going to be huge.
Oh, that'd be great. And I think it's a great 2 weeks for Canberra to be over there. So we'll enjoy every bit of it.
Just amazing. And like that Symphony in the Park, which is happening on the 11th, and the Skyfire to wrap it all up around about the 17th. There's so much going on. The Night Noodle Market. So, yeah, it'll just be a sensational couple of days away for you.
Yeah. Thanks again.
Not a problem. And thank you so much to everyone who has dropped some interesting facts on us, and Jeff particularly for yours. The origin of the phrase, the bee's knees. Apparently, behind the knee of the bee is where you find the best honey. Yeah, I feel very enlightened this morning. Enlighten Festival is happening over in Canberra. It starts today and runs through until the 18th of March. And there's so much to eat, see and explore. EnlightenCanberra.com for all the details. Largely free to get along to. There are a couple of bits and pieces that you still have to pay for to get over in Canberra, but all the projections on the buildings are free for you to go around and check out. You can get down to the Night Noodle Markets, the street food vendors going to be there right throughout the festival. EnlightenCanberra.com, check it out. Triple M, it's Lee with you this morning and catching up as we do each and every week at around about this time with Peter Crackers Keenan. G'day Crackers, how you going?
Lee, how are you? They're cruising.
Yeah. Oh, look, they've left me to hold it all together here.
You'll be right. You'll be right.
I think we've just about gotten through the week.
In a bit of, what you would make them do is tell them to shout you a meal at Cottontail. You and the wife, I know she barracks for Collingwood, but we forgive her for that. and go out there and have a lovely meal and say, Potsy, tie on your bill and have a lovely bottle of red. And if you have a bet on the football, well, I'm not allowed to bet, but if you make any money, you go and see Rowan and Tracy and the gang, and they'll look after you. Investment, that's where you make money. Investing with those people. But I tell you what, Collingwood supporters, tell your wife to buy an overcoat. It's going to be a cold winter.
I think she was talking to me last night about a September holiday possibility.
Yeah, well, wouldn't worry about too much. Yes,
yeah, I didn't have much on.
Look for the specials now because they've got no forward line.
Yeah. It was. You know, I saw bits and pieces last night, and as a Giants supporter, I was watching as much as I could. But, yeah.
There was two sides out there. One was second rate. I know it's the first practice game and all that, and we've got to jump, forget about all that. But you've got to show something after the whole. And there's no structure. There's no. Oh, I don't know.
Where's Bucks going to be if they don't improve in the first 12 rounds?
Oh, well, they'd have to sack him. But just remember this, that Eddie said, it wasn't my decision to reappoint Nathan Buckley. It was Jeff Walsh's decision. He's reiterated that about five times.
So you think that the bromance might be over?
Well, one thing about Eddie, he's been in the Cape for 20 years, had never had an election.
Yeah.
And never an election at all. But anyway, it'll be interesting. But Western Bullies, they're playing Hawthorn and Ballarat.
And you hear that on Triple M as well. Ballarat's getting a few this year. It's good to see.
Oh, it's good. It's a very good ground. Mm. So the North Ballarat pulled out of the VFL because they basically went broke. And they're fighting up there. They're going to come back next year. Brisbane Lions. I think Hawthorn will beat Western Bulldogs. Josh Shackey's turning up for the first game for the Bullies. Yep. Brisbane Lions versus Sydney. Moreton Bay of Sydney, easily. Gold Coast and Geelong. They won't play Gasser, of course. They'll leave him be. Put him on ice. All the way at Townsville. Oh, I'll tip Geelong.
Yeah, you'd like to think Gold Coast are another team that have to show something over the.
Oh, yeah. I think Gold Coast heading to the bottom of the ladder.
Really?
Yep, I think they'll get the spoon. But you know, everybody's going off half cock, like Richo, Alan Richardson saying, "Oh, we can win the premiership." Like, give me a break.
It is that time of year where you sell hope to your members, and hope that you can back it up.
You got to have hope. Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions in the AFLW. Tell you what, Daisy Pearce was held last week really well, and she only had 9 possessions. She didn't like it either. I'll tip Brisbane Lions to beat Melbourne. Fremantle versus GWS. GWS will beat Fremantle. Adelaide versus Carlton. Carlton are going on all right, but they play shocking football, and Adelaide to win. They hardly kicked a goal last week. It was terrible. Yeah. Collingwood and the Western Bullies.
Both racked up fairly big scores last week.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I'd go to Western Bullies. They broke the record last week, didn't they? Everybody was cheering and all, and they wouldn't let Susan Amberti in, but she's going to be let in this week because Nicole Livingston's going to be there, and she's going to wait for her and take her right through.
Yeah.
Actually, the girls should go and say, they've made a fair bit of money. They're getting about $25,000 for their little season. It's pretty good money. Like, considering that in the VFL, which are pretty good footballers, top take-home money would be $20,000. And you play 22 games, whatever it is. Yeah, 22 games. These people are playing 8 years, and they're getting $25,000. Yes. Not a bad earn.
It's good coin, but a lot of work goes into it behind the scenes, and to be interesting.
Oh, it certainly does.
Be interesting to see if they can expand the length of the season over the coming years, and quality improves.
The women's league starts in May.
Yeah,
that's a fair dinkum one. This is the one for the show, but we've got a side that plays in the Southern League, Port Melbourne Footy Club, and we start in May. They're training now, but they start in May.
Yeah.
So that's when the real season starts. Now, she's Flemington tomorrow, headquarters. This is dedicated to Collingwood supporters. I've just been talking to this bloke's grandfather, race three horse to Hear the Chant.
Hear the Chant.
Hear the Chant. Andrew Mee, first up this horse. It goes all right. Be around the money. Race five, horse for Mr. Fergus. Got a bit of value about it. It's about 10 to 1.
Ooh,
won its last couple.
Bit of an outsider.
Craig Whittison from Wodonga trains it. Goes all right now. We'll put the 50 on Grunt. Race 7, horse 11. Very impressive its last start.
Yep.
And Mick Price has got it and Oliver in the saddle. Race 8, horse 3, Crystal Dreamer. Loves the straight, home track and all. Damien Laney won't give it a sore back, should get the money. And a mate of mine who trains this one, and they've tipped it, the owner's tipped it to me, it's won its last couple. Actually, this is the horse that kicked the trainer in the face. So they don't like each other. By Piero. Race nine, horse seven, Holburn.
Holburn.
Jordan Childs, who won the big one last week won the Blue Diamonds ride. He's the son of Greg Childs, a champion New Zealand jockey.
Yeah.
He rides well. He's going to get too heavy, but he's a very good hoop.
Sensational. Well, that's it.
And there's still more to come on the racing saga.
I was going to ask you about that. What's the latest?
Oh, well, they're all sort of saying no show, not guilty, and, you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to drag on. It'll be like the Cobalt one that dragged on for 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to drag on, and in the finish, I don't think they can get out. They're just, you know, it's just one of those. They're sort of saying they're trying to work out what's a top up now. So they're sort of the defence lawyers are saying we don't know what a top up is. You tell us. So it's all going to get very messy.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's these.
It's not going to do the industry any good.
Yeah, just drag on, and they don't do anyone any good. And at the end of it, everyone comes away feeling unsatisfied.
I better ring Davey Haywood. He barracks for Collingwood. He'd be, you know, and he's not getting any younger. He's looking for a flag.
Yeah, need a bit of a pick me up. next Saturday, Crackers. Of course, we've got a big Aussie Rules event happening up in the Riverina out at Ungerry. The Danaher boys, tribute to the Danahers out at Ungerry, and we've got some good players coming up. Paul Kelly has just been confirmed to be playing in the match as well. So a bit of Brownlow medal quality.
What they should do is go out there. If Paul Vanderhaar plays, which he will, you should have a lot of cans of beer because he played on beer, but you're going to need an ambulance for him.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a few hit the deck.
Oh, look, he's going to. It will be a very relaxed match. But who have we got coming along? Stephen Carey, Gary Folds, Brian Wood, Paul Hamilton, plus the four brothers, and a few others who are getting around there as well. Paul Kelly, of course.
Coach Stephen Carey's son at the moment, Chris. He's been in a good paddock, Stephen Carey.
I think there will be. It'll be almost like zones by the time the match starts. So they just have a trot on, trot off, and EJ Witten style.
Oh, it'll be good.
So it'll
be all right. Oh, I can't go next week. I've got to go to the races. I'm taking the Great Harry White to the races. It's Melbourne. It's Australia Cup Day. He was only fortunate enough to win 5 Australia Cups, 3 new markets. Yeah. I'm taking him to the races next week.
Sensational. Well, Crackers, thank you so much for catching up this morning. And thank you so much for your tips and your insights. And we will catch up with you next Friday when Potsy and Leighton are back.
No worries. Right here.
Talk to us about the creepy, creepy doll.
Well, a 200-year-old gypsy doll, which was found underneath a haunted house in Wagga 45 years ago, is still making headlines around the world, basically. It has been for the last 45 years because it's been linked to a string of strange occurrences and unexplained events.
Surely this is just a way for the owner of the doll to make a buck.
Well, a cynic like you would put it that way, but the doll is called Letter Me Out, by the way. That's its name.
Letter Me Out. Yeah, it's probably paranoid about its name. That's why it's
called. It has actually... apparently moved in front of a crowd of 200 people,
mm-hmm.
and also on a TV appearance once, the person who had the doll sitting in their lap was talking about the former owner, who was believed to be a little boy who drowned, and when he was talking about the little boy who drowned, the doll moved.
Look, I'm not believing it. I'm very cynical about these
Trust
things.
Trust you to be the Scully.
Look, it's interesting because like I was very much a non-believer in hypnotism until I got hypnotised. So it's
that was hilarious.
A couple of times that I've been hypnotised, and yeah, look, I know exactly what I'm doing. I just can't control what I'm doing. I remember everything that I'm doing. I just can't control what I'm doing.
So the reason it's making headlines now is that people now have the chance to meet this doll in person and even get a photo taken with it.
Oh, for the low, low cost of $9.95, you can have your photo taken with the doll, and for just $3, you can come in and meet it.
One catch is that the owner now lives in Warwick, so you've got to go to Queensland.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that too. I'll open up the phones here, 1327 10. Do you believe in the paranormal? Have you got any ghost stories or anything like that?
This will be great.
Yeah, look, I've been down through Arradale Asylum down in Ararat, which is a very scary place, and that is probably the only time where I've sort of thought, you know what? Maybe there are like supernatural beings.
There's bound to be some local stories. We've got the Monte Cristo. We've got so much around here. I'm sure we'll get some calls.
Yeah, Monte Cristo's a fascinating place, and I've been out through there, but I didn't sort of experience any ghostly apparitions myself.
Maybe you need to spend a night.
Spend a night at Monte Cristo. Well, spend a night at Arradale Asylum on Halloween, no less. And that was interesting. Okay, 1327 10, if you've got any of those weird paranormal stories, are you a believer? Do you think that this creepy doll could be actually creepy and causing stuff to move, or maybe it's just a way for the owner to make money with a really... And it's a messed up looking doll as well.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It's just terrible.
Potsy and Leighton for breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Triple M.